You can open your Bibles again to Psalm 23. I do want to go through, down through this psalm this morning, but just as a text, we're going to use the first verse, Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the preaching of His Word. O Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Thy Word. We thank You for this psalm, Lord, well-known psalm. But Lord, we pray today that God would speak to us through this psalm. Lord, that we would know that we have a shepherd. Lord, that we would know that He leads us through the valley into green pastures. He gives us a peace. He gives us assurance. He gives us provision. And Lord, if there's any in the meeting this morning who can't say that, the Lord is my shepherd, Lord, we pray before this meeting is over that they would come to a place where they accept Christ as their shepherd and give their life to Him. So Lord, bless us. Be with us. We ask it in Thy name. Amen. As I've said, I'm sure all this morning could quote some of this psalm, if not all of it. I'm sure even the children would know this psalm. It's a psalm that answers so many questions to the believer's life and purpose. It shows the relationship that the believer has with God. It's also a psalm of great hope, of great comfort. From the very outset, we see the majesty of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. And the title Lord can be translated Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. The word Jehovah was that sacred through with the Jews that they wouldn't even use it. They were afraid to use it. And the only time it was used was on the great day of atonement, when the high priest would enter the most holy place once a year. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself refers to Him as a good shepherd that laid down His life for His sheep. And by the Lord referring to Himself as a good shepherd, the Lord was stating that He was Jehovah, the Son of God. And this is the very reason why the Jews hated Him. This is the very reason why the Jews crucified Him. Because they wouldn't accept that humble man, Jesus Christ, as being Jehovah. To understand Psalm 23, from the very outset, it's critical that we understand who the shepherd is. So it's critical that we understand the majesty of the title of the psalm. The majesty of the title of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, the unchanging, the internal, self-existent God. The I am that I am. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. Dear Christian, I want you to grasp this opening line. Should you grasp nothing else I say this morning, I want you to take this in. If you're a child of God, Jehovah is your shepherd. Almighty God, King of kings, is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Is that not a blessing? Is that not a real encouragement? Can you see the majesty in this opening line? Do you realize who your shepherd is this morning? Maybe you're sitting in God's house full of worry and stress. Maybe you're facing a difficult situation in your life. and you're finding it hard and difficult. Maybe it's a work situation, and you're dealing with difficult people, and they don't like you, they hate everything that you stand for, and they're out to destroy you. And you're sitting and you're worried about it. Maybe it's a health worry. You're stressed. And you're waiting for results, or you've got the results and they haven't been good. This morning you're concerned. Maybe about a loved one. Maybe you're a parent and you're worried and stressed about a wayward child or a grandchild. And this morning your heart aches. And you're burdened and you're concerned and you're worried. Maybe it's just a very difficult time in your life. And you're sitting in God's house and you're drained. Oh, we've all been there. That churn of anxiousness. That worry. That burden where you can hardly move your neck. Through the muscles tensing up. Maybe it's a young person. And you've just finished your exams, and you're worried about the results, you're worried about what's your next step, will I go to university, or will I go out to work, what will my career be, what should I do? And you're worried about this, and you're worried about that, what if this happens, or what if that happens? Listen, dear child of God, and let this sink into your heart, the Lord Almighty God this morning is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Stop worrying. Hand it over to God. Hand it over to Christ. Hand it over to your shepherd. Because he tells you and tells me that he is our shepherd and you shall not want. He is in control of everything. Everything in your life. Everything. And his will be done. Nothing will change that. Nobody can take it down a different path. God's will be done. Hand it over to him. The first thing I'd like to draw to your attention from this chapter is that the shepherd guides and directs his sheep. If you look at verses 2 and 3 of the psalm, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Eastern Shepherd is not what we would think of today. When we think of shepherds, and I'm no farmer, and I'm certainly not a shepherd. But when we think about shepherds, when I think about shepherds, I think of a person sitting in a quad, beeping the horn, waving a stick, shouting languages I don't know, yeah, yeah, whatever that is, a shout, and the sheep run on. Or maybe they have a dog that chases the sheep and guides the sheep. But the Eastern Shepherd didn't drive the sheep. But the Eastern Shepherd led the sheep. He went out before the sheep and the sheep followed. He would have planned his journey, planned the path for the next day to ensure he kept the sheep from danger and also to ensure there was sufficient grass and water. That's what it means. He led them by still waters and green pastures. Now, when we think of green pastures, we think of the lovely green fields with a hedge and a gate to keep the sheep in. And they graze all day through all the lovely rain that we get. And the grass grows and the sheep are able to eat until their hearts are content. But this isn't the case in the Middle East. Nor was it David's experience. You see, the Eastern Shepherd would lead his flock through a barren wilderness. And the green pastures that David is talking about is little tufts of grass that would gather where condensation of moisture in the air coming off the Mediterranean Sea would settle. And would settle under stones. And from that moisture, underneath a stone, grass would grow. On the side of a mountain, you would see these green tufts of grass dotted throughout. So along the way, the shepherd would lead. And he would know where they are. And he'd lead his sheep in a path that would be sufficient food, sufficient grass, and pools of small, still water to ensure there was sufficiency and enough room during their journey. And the sheep would have total faith in their shepherd. And wherever he led them, they would follow him. And what a picture this is for the Christian's journey through life. How we, the children of God, have a shepherd who's leading us, who's going before us, who's guiding us and directing us through life. He is ensuring that there's provision made for us every day. He has prepared a way for us. The child of God is not aimlessly walking through life by chance and just deals with what's around the next corner. No, our path has been laid before us, designed and directed by God. God has a plan and a purpose and a will for our lives. And throughout that journey, God has made provision for us, just as a shepherd to ensure there was provision for his sheep. And that's what it means when the psalmist penned, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. David knew what it meant to make sure that he made provision for his sheep. And David said, "The Lord's my shepherd. He's made provision for me. He's made a plan. He's made a direction for me. And I will not want." You know, I look back on my life. I'm sure you can do this morning as well. And how many times I went to go down one road. But the Lord redirected my path and brought me down a road that I'd never even seen. And when I look back now, and I think of that road I could have went down, it definitely would have been the wrong decision. But the Lord guided me. He directed me. How good is the God that we adore. How the Lord directs us through His Word. Psalm 119, the first 105 tells us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And throughout God's word, we have guidance and direction for each of our lives. And we must ensure that we read God's word daily so we know what direction to follow and to be in God's will. You know, I have the wee app. I'm not against it. A verse a day. And I'm not against that. And I get that wee verse pinging. As I come into work, and before I go into work, I read the first of the day. That's not your daily reading. And I fear that some Christians now use that one verse a day for their daily reading. No, we have to be in God's Word. Dedicate time. It's no use just lifting God's Word once in a while, especially when we are in trouble and need guidance, and we flick through God's Word hoping that we'd come to a portion that will help us. No, we need to be in God's Word daily, and His Word needs to be part of our life. And I'd warn you, if you're not reading God's Word and you're not following Scripture as guidance, I can assure you, you will lose your way, and you will end up like Jonah, taking the wrong route, the wrong path. And there's always a consequence for the Christian that does that. As I was thinking about the scene of the shepherd leading, I considered, well, you can only follow if you keep your eyes and the one who's leading. If you take your eyes of the one who's leading, you will then be only a matter of time before you get lost, before you get into difficulties, before you get into trouble. I remember when I was a child and we lived in Canada, and most Saturdays I would go with my parents to this massive shopping. The way the Americans, Canadians do everything bigger and better. Sometimes they do. I went to this massive shopping center, and maybe it's just because I was so small, looked massive. But one Saturday, we were walking through this shopping center, and it was Christmas, and I was distracted by all the toys, and I had all the toys on display. And I was walking along, just following the toys, and oh, there's another toy there. It wasn't long before I looked up, And guess what? I couldn't see my parents. I took my eyes off them. I was distracted by the toys. And I remember that fear, that panic. Even I must have been only 7 or 8 years old. And I can still remember that fear and that panic set in. But thankfully, it wasn't long before my mom and dad found me. And so it is with the Christian that takes their eyes off the Savior. They find themselves lost. They find themselves far from the shepherd and the fold of God. And because of this, they start to make shipwreck and start to make a mess of their lives. And not only their lives, but also those around them. We all know the story of the prodigal son. And I wonder, is there someone in the meeting this morning? And you've taken your eyes off Christ. You've taken your eyes off your shepherd. Oh, you once followed well. You once would never have taken your eyes off your Savior. And you stayed close by. But then a distraction came in. Maybe it was work. Maybe it was a relationship. And slowly but surely, you started to take your eyes off the Savior. And just like I did when I was a wee boy, you started to put your eyes upon the things of this world. With being so busy, you stopped reading your Bible and prayer time. Maybe you started to miss a few prayer meetings. Then it was a few services. And now you find yourself this morning that you're never in a prayer meeting. You're never in the meetings that you used to be in. And you're far, far away from your shepherd. And trouble has set in. Is that someone in the meeting this morning? You don't have the peace of God. You don't have the peace that the shepherd gives to his flock. You're far from the green pastures. You're far from the still waters. And you're walking aimlessly through the wilderness of sin in this world. And you're not happy. You can't be happy. If you're a true child of God, you cannot be happy. And this morning you sit in God's house with no peace. You've taken your eyes off the shepherd. Is that you? We read in Matthew chapter 14 of the disciples seeing the Lord in the middle of a storm, walking on water. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." So Peter got out of the ship and started to walk to the Lord. But as he was walking, the waves got bigger and the wind blew stronger. And because of this, all of a sudden, he took his eyes off the Savior and he started to look at the storms around him. And what happened? He started to sink. He'd taken his eyes off Christ and he started to sink. And he panicked, but he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord stretched forth his hand and caught him and lifted him up out of the waves. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, it's in saving me. Peter was a child of God when he cried this. You can't lose your salvation. You can't be truly saved and lost. But you can't backslide and grow cold. And dear Christian, if you've taken your eyes off the Lord and you're sinking in sin this morning, can I urge you to cry something? Lord, save me. Lord, bring me back into the fold of God. Restore me. He restoreth my soul. Come back to that place where you once were. How the shepherd tells his disciples about a parable of a man that has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, and he leaves the 99 and goes searching for the one that has gone astray. And friend, the Lord is searching for a stray sheep this morning and has directed your path to be in this meeting this morning. And it's directed my path to be in this meeting this morning. And it's directed this word upon my heart to bring to you, to say to you, to come back to him and return to the shepherd. Will you come? Even when you sit, will you cry, "Lord, forgive me. Not only does a shepherd direct his sheep, but he also protects his sheep. Look at verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And these verses describe the sheep going through a dangerous part of the journey. A valley where there's no escape, only the road behind and the road in front. And of course, when in the valley, there's restricted light due to the valley walls that makes the threats and dangers harder to see. And the sheep can become anxious. They become afraid. They panic. And how at times God's children go through the valley. Could be at the start of the journey or at the end. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil wants to destroy us, and the Christian's journey through this life can be difficult and treacherous. And the devil loves to discourage. The devil loves to distract us about doubts, about our salvation, about doubts of our shepherd. But rejoice this morning, Christian, because we have a shepherd who loves us and protects us. And the devil can snap at our heads. He can roar all he likes. But he's a defeated foe. We have a shepherd who's with us in the valley, who protects us. His rod and staff comforts us. He brings us comfort. We're in the hardest times of our life. Verse 5, the psalmist pens, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I thought about this, and I tried to get an understanding of what that truly meant. And I got this picture in my head, and I want you to think about this picture. Imagine a battlefield. And the ranks of the army or the enemies are lined up in front of you. And they start to run towards you. And the horses start to gallop. But you're ignoring them. You're sitting down having a meal. Not worried at all. Not concerned at all. Not annoyed in the slightest. Not even slightly concerned. Why? Because you have faith in your shepherd. And we're not to live our lives in fear. And Christian, I don't say that lightly. I know life can be hard. Life can be difficult. But it's wrong for the Christian to live their life in fear. We should be fearless in the battle. We should learn to trust in the Lord and lean upon Him. We need to be fearless because we have that assurance and close walk with our shepherd. We are to stop worrying about this and stop worrying about that, but instead hand it over to God. In verse 5 we read, thou anointest my head with oil. And this is referred to the shepherd pouring oil over the sheep. You see, small flies would deposit their eggs into the soft membrane of the sheep's nose, and which eventually would drive the sheep insane or blind them. And the sheep would eventually try to kill themselves by ramming their heads against rocks or running off a cliff. The flies tormented them. So to stop the flies and also to heal wounds, the shepherd would carry oil. And the shepherd would pour oil over the sheep to protect them and to bring peace to the sheep. The shepherd would have to carry plenty of oil because he would have to reapply the oil each day to make sure that the sheep were well covered and well protected. And how at times we are like distressed sheep, and the stresses of life make us run around with mental strain, mental worry, trying to keep up with life, juggling this, running the rat race, worried about what people will do to us, worried about what someone puts on Facebook, worried about awkward people trying to cause us harm, worried about illness.
What we need is the oil applied. The oil of the shepherd to protect us. And do you ask the Lord every morning you get up, Lord, cover me with thy oil? Do you? I'm going to be honest. I didn't. I'm not going to stand up here and be a hypocrite. I didn't understand that verse. Yes, I prayed every morning. I asked the Lord to help me, to guide me. But since doing that and understanding this chapter, every morning I've asked the Lord to cover me with the oil, to protect me. And I'm going to tell you something, dear Christian. See the peace that brings each day? Only God can do that. It's a blessing. I would encourage you to do that each morning, to have that discipline. Lastly, with this I close. The shepherd has made preparation for his sheep. We read in the end of verse 6, and I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And dear Christian, this earth is not our final home. This life is only a journey. And there's coming a day when we shall see our shepherd face to face. And we shall be with our shepherd for all eternity. And we should not fear this. How Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And how that short statement should be all of our mottos. We live to serve Christ on this earth, but the real gain is to die in Christ and to go to glory, to go home to heaven. I heard a story once about a minister. And as he was preaching, he said, every member of this congregation is going to die. There was a wee man sitting in the front, and he smiled back at the minister. It annoyed the minister. So he raised his voice. He says, I said every member of this congregation is going to die. There's a wee man sitting in the front, aye, smiling away at him. The minister got really, really annoyed. So he raised his voice one more time, this time as loud as he could, and he thumped the pulpit, and he said, I said every member of this congregation is going to die. The wee man sitting in the front, even bigger smile upon his face. The minister eventually lost his temper. And he said, sir, do you not hear what I said? He said, I said every member of this congregation is going to die. Why are you smiling? He says, I'm not a member. But how it is that when death is mentioned to a Christian, there's a fear. There's a dread. And is that not strange? You know, we anchor, if we're being honest, we anchor so much in this life. Our houses, our jobs, our holidays. And we lose sight of the end goal. This life is nothing compared to what's going to be like in glory. Yes, we're here to serve, but only for a short time. The last time I was here, I preached on eternity on a Sunday night. And I give the example, as I've given to young people many, many times, about the piece of rope. And I have a piece of rope, a real long piece of rope, and I get it stretched out. At one end, there's a wee bit of white tape around it. And as the rope is stretched out, it goes around and around. And then I say to the young people, pretend it goes out the door.
pretend it goes out Portavogue, down Newton Ards, across the water, America, around the world, up to space, up to Mars. And I go on and on and on. And then I come back to the wee white bit. And I say, see this wee white bit of tape? That's your life in this earth. The rest is eternity. Dear Christian, the shepherd is leading us, guiding us, in control of us through this life. And someday will lead us home to glory. That should thrill our hearts this morning. But maybe it's a case that someone in God's house this morning is going through the valley, going through the difficulties of this life, and you feel the anguish that I've talked about, but you realize you haven't got a shepherd. I'm sorry, but there's no hope for you this morning. I can't bring you words of peace or comfort because you haven't given your life to the shepherd. But that can change. If you give your life to Christ this morning, he becomes your shepherd. And he will help you and he will guide you through these difficulties. But you must come to that place where you put your faith and trust in the shepherd, just as the sheep did. Every morning they followed the shepherd. So you must come to that place where you put your faith and trust in Christ. And as I said to the boys and girls, it's so easy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah, the shepherd, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. And you can do that now. Put the pride away. Stop being a fool. Just simply bow your head and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and save me, as a child would do.